Okay, good. So far, they're all working. It's my pleasure to introduce Pat Sweeney, who comes to us from lots of different hats, actually. It's always difficult to introduce you. Which hat are you wearing today? Pat is someone else that we were very fortunate to be able to fund to do some of this research. And I also want to be able to thank the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, who they fund us, and therefore we fund other folks. So pay it forward. Pat is the Associate Director for Law and Policy at the University of Pittsburgh Center for Public Health Practice and the Commissioner of the Mahoning County Health Department. So welcome. She's going to talk to us about influenza immunization among healthcare workers.
Thank you so much, and I'd like to take the opportunity to echo what others have said, other speakers, welcoming you here and thanking you for participating and sharing part of your day with us. As you mentioned, as Jennifer mentioned, I have been fortunate to be funded by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation through the Public Health Law Research Program to conduct this work. And as this program has been paced, it was perfect because what we are doing is building on exactly what everyone else has spoken about, which is kind of fun. Sometimes I'm at the beginning of the story instead of at the end, so it's a great idea. These are the individuals I'm working with on this project. Dr. Zimmerman, Dr. Chocho Lin, Dr. Norwalk, and Dr. Raymond are all with the School of Medicine and the Department of Internal Medicine at the University of Pittsburgh. And most of them, as you can see, have PhD, PhD, PhD. That's why I'm here talking today, because of the methods they understand and can utilize and apply to this legal research. As Jennifer mentioned, assistant professor at the Department of Policy, Health Policy and Management at the University of Pittsburgh, and also a local health commissioner. So putting this practice, this research into practice, working right now with my health department, Board of Health, trying to change our policies around healthcare worker immunization. And it, truly translational science. There you go. I also have no relationships to disclose. So why are we here, and why did Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and the Public Health Law Research Network say, sure, go ahead, do something around healthcare worker influenza immunization? 226,000 hospitalizations a year, 36,000 deaths annually from what is influenza. Most people don't think of it very seriously as a very serious infectious disease, but in fact it is. And why do we care about healthcare workers? Well, healthcare workers have a duty to do no harm. And yet, because of the close encounters that they experience with patients, the vulnerable populations that they're serving, healthcare workers who are not immunized have the potential to cause harm. Vaccination is the most effective preventive mechanism to prevent the influenza spread. And again, when you're working with vulnerable populations, you have this moral, ethical, legal obligation to not harm the patients that you're serving. Traditional interventions since about 2005, 2006, there have been a slew of things. You know, we're recognizing that this is an issue. Joint Commission Accreditation of Healthcare Facilities has started to recommend that this become that healthcare worker influenza immunization policies be put in place in hospitals and actually track it as part of the accreditation process. And there have been a number of traditional interventions put forth, things like making sure that at the worksite vaccines are available and at no cost to workers, or educational and promotion activities, incentivizing people to, you know, you have a discount on your healthcare insurance if you get the immunization, requiring declination statements. If you don't get the flu vaccine as a healthcare worker, you have to say, I'm not getting it and this is why. And reporting rates of administration, rates of influenza vaccine uptake in your facility to administration. Those have all started to try to tick things up a little bit in terms of uptake of healthcare worker influenza immunization. But it's really the mandates that have started to make the biggest change. Traditional rates can get you up to about 80-some from a hospital perspective. When you start to do the mandates, we're seeing in excess of 90% uptake. But across the board, this is where we are with trivalent vaccine and healthcare workers. I added a 2012-2013 season. We're up to about almost 70%, far cry from the 2020 projected goal of 90% uptake in healthcare workers. So our research questions were, what part of the law, is there a relationship between state healthcare worker influenza immunization laws and the rates in that state? What is the relationship between the policies? Is it the policies or the laws that have more impact? And is it just the presence or absence of law or policy, or are there particular components of those laws and policies that have the most impact? And so those were our three questions. What do we need to put in place that would have the greatest impact? We did mapping studies of the laws. We actually used work that was done by George Washington University. Stewart and Cox had done in 2011 quite an extensive analysis of the laws. So we mapped that, surveyed research. We conducted research across all, I'll get to that. And we also did something called linear hierarchical modeling. And this is where those PhDs came in real handy. And I actually have a paragraph if you want information about exactly what linear hierarchical modeling is, because I couldn't begin to describe it and do it justice, but have a little bit of an understanding of it. Our data sources were the NIHS data from 2000 to 2011 through the National Center for Health Statistics. We looked at state healthcare worker vaccination laws and a survey of 1,200 random hospitals, random sample hospitals from the American Hospital Association members, and we matched that with the Association of Professionals Infection Control, because we worked with them on this project, and we identified individuals within the facilities that were members of APIC and the Hospital Association so that we could target individuals for survey response. Oh, let me go back. We had 1,200 that we sent out. About 960-some actually came back with good contact information. We had a 45% response rate. 463 responded. 150 hospital had policies related to mandating health care workers to be immunized. I don't have the exact numbers. 84, I believe, had policies with sanctions, that there was some sanction for noncompliance, and 60 without sanctions. The state analysis of the laws, there were 20 states that had healthcare worker influenza immunization laws. We calculated law scores based on the content of those laws. So for any state that had presence of a healthcare worker influenza immunization law, was given 25 points. If they targeted a particular population, either acute care or long-term care, additional 5 points. If the employer must offer influenza vaccine and assume the cost or respond to noncompliance, so there was some action they had to take for noncompliance, the policy or the state law was given an additional 10 points. If the employer must educate healthcare workers or document the vaccination and report the vaccinations to administration and the public or to the state health department, 5 additional points. And unvaccinated healthcare workers have to formally decline or provide documentation of vaccination, additional 10 points. So the maximum a state could receive was 110 points for the law score. We did 2 types of hierarchical linear modeling. And all, if I can describe this the best I can, there are different variables that you look at in 2 different ways. And you take one level of variable and you analyze it in this modeling, and then you add another. You can superimpose another layer on top of that. That finds correlations between them. For the first analysis, all we looked at was state law. Did the state law exist? And what was the vaccination status? So the NIHS data said what the state uptake was in healthcare worker immunization rates, and then the state law analysis. We did law score and whether the law pertained to a particular long-term care or acute care. So what was the targeted population and what was the law score? Comparing those and conducting this hierarchical linear modeling using this analysis where they do one variable at a time in pairs. You can see that the p-values for this were significant. There was a correlation. And there were increased odds of having vaccination uptake in facilities in states that had laws directed towards long-term care centers or directed to acute care hospitals. And in fact, as the one point increase in the overall state's law score, there was a 1% increase in the odds that healthcare workers in that state would be vaccinated. So having a law at the first level of this analysis, a state law that either directed long-term care or acute care did impact the likelihood, increase the odds of healthcare workers being vaccinated. And again, the law score, as it went up 1 point, there was a 1% increase in the likelihood that healthcare workers would be vaccinated in that state. The limitations to that, it was just looking at the state laws and their small sample size of healthcare workers vaccinated in some states. So it required us to aggregate states that had similar laws. That starts to muddy the analysis. Examining the comprehensiveness, you know, the law score and the target or audience, was it long-term care or was it hospitals, showed an increase in a likelihood that individuals would become vaccinated, but they didn't move up as much as you would hope just because the odds ratio went up. You didn't see exactly the same amount of increase state to state in the actual healthcare worker immunization rates. What we didn't include in this analysis, because hierarchical linear modeling can't do five different layers, it's doing two, we didn't look at the variances in enforcement. And you all know in laws, you can have a law on the books, but how it's enforced is incredibly important. And the scope of the exemptions was not considered. So states had law, but how many exemptions, how permissive were the exemptions, that needed to be considered. So there are opportunities for further research. So our second level of analysis, after we took in consideration, we not only just did the state law, now we added in the hospital policies. So we got all this information back from this national survey where we asked the hospitals to tell us when the policies were put in place, what did the policies contain, did they have, were you reassigned if you weren't vaccinated, were you terminated if you weren't vaccinated, did you have to wear a mask if you weren't vaccinated, were you required to decline if you weren't vaccinated, all different levels of activities that could happen in the hospital, and coded those policies and again conducted this hierarchical linear modeling. So we were able to take the state rates again for vaccination and the hospital policies. So there were two variables on level one and then two on level three. When this level of analysis was done, when you brought in not just the state law but also hospital policies, we found very different significance here. These p-values reflect the fact that these were not significant. So the content of the state law, once you add in the hospital policies, state law content had no significance. Interesting. You go from, if you just look at the law as the presence of a law, increasing the odds of uptake, but when you have policy in place, the policy overrode the significance of the state law. In fact, what we found unequivocally was that termination for noncompliance or a mandate with consequences other than termination, having to be reassigned, not being able to work in direct patient care, having to wear a mask, those were significant activities that actually made people more likely to become, in fact, did show direct increase in healthcare worker immunization rates in the hospitals. So the policies the hospitals have in place is a much more significant predictor than the content of the law in states and facilities where you have both. So the implications, if your facility doesn't have a policy, it's like you should be working with your state legislators to work on the creation of a law in your state that would require some sanctions, would require immunization of healthcare workers. There's likely to be some exemptions, but as narrow a scope of exemptions as possible, and you will have likely greater uptake of healthcare worker influenza immunization. In hospitals that have policies, they have to have policies with consequences, or you don't see the same level of uptake. So the facility policies that most positively impact healthcare worker immunization, influenza immunization rates provide consequences for noncompliance. So if you're going to do this, if you're going to go to the effort of putting in a policy that mandates or requires healthcare worker influenza immunization, it has to be one with teeth. I too flew. I didn't realize I was going that fast. Okay. Also willing to entertain questions. Spread the word. Teeth is what matters. Thank you.